Chatham Aircraft shuts down its remaining operations. The U.S. moves to try six 9/11 conspirators. And an anti-airport activist is named to Florida Airports Advisory Board. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this Aerocast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, February 12th, 2008. ANN learned Monday afternoon that Adam Aircraft, which last month shut down its plant in Ogden, Utah, to conserve cash while waiting for its next round of financing, has now shut down operations at its Colorado facilities as well. The January layoffs were termed a strategic adjustment. Yesterday's official statement said the full shutdown was related to funding delays. Quote, "The company is currently exploring all of its alternatives and will provide further guidance when decisions are made, which is expected to be later this week," unquote. Sources close to the company say there has been no bankruptcy filing and called any rumors of such premature. You'll find more details and continuing coverage in print form on our website at aero-news.net. In what the Bush administration has long considered a major piece of unfinished business, the Defense Department announced Monday six detainees at Guantanamo Bay will be tried for roles in the September 11th terrorist attacks. The government will reportedly seek the death penalty for all six. The trial will be held at the U.S. Guantanamo Bay detainment facility and is expected to be watched intensely worldwide. In addition to evidence expected to expose the inner workings of Al-Qaeda, the proceedings will also draw attention to interrogation techniques used by the CIA. In particular, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed's confession to masterminding the plot was obtained using waterboarding, a technique which simulates the sensation of drowning to create panic and which is described by some critics as torture. The convening authority must officially find the government's evidence to represent probable cause before the trial can be scheduled. The prosecution is asking for one combined capital trial for all six men. Neighbors of the Valkaria Airport in Palm Bay, Florida, have criticized the concentration of pilots and other aviation enthusiasts on the airport's advisory board. So, as Florida Today reports, Brevard County Commissioner Chuck Nelson appointed Janice Walters to the board. Walters has been an active airport opponent. Neighbors are pleased, but supporters are horrified. Commissioners voted unanimously to adopt an airport master plan last August after 15 public hearings characterized by hyperbole on the part of some airport opponents. Two runways at the former military satellite training field will get much-needed repaving, and a new parallel taxiway and hangars will be built for up to 100 planes. For her part, Walters says that despite her history with the board, she supports Valkaria's use as a small recreational facility. As British Airways plans the June debut of its new Open Skies transatlantic subsidiary, BA pilots are preparing for a strike just in time to disrupt the Easter holiday. London's Daily Mail reports many of the 3,200 pilots working for BA fear the airline plans to massively outsource flying duties on Open Skies to pilots with less training for lower pay, then pressure its mainline pilots to accept lower wages too. The airline counters that there are no changes planned to existing pilots' terms or compensation, which it describes as among the best in the industry, and says Open Skies represents an historic opportunity to strengthen and grow the business, benefiting customers and staff. Results of the pilots' vote are expected to be announced on Wednesday next week, and the strike could start by the end of the month. In the U.S., pilot union representatives at Delta and Northwest have reportedly been briefed on details of a merger proposal. Bloomberg reports that two airlines hope to avoid the debacle which ensued when pilots of America West and U.S. Airways battled over seniority list policies following the merger of those two carriers. Neither the companies nor the Airline Pilots Association commented to Bloomberg, but industry sources still say an official announcement of the merger could come as early as the end of this week. Up next on ANN, Avadyne brings a new FMS option to light jets. Boeing could be held liable for F-15 defects. And astronauts prepare to install the Columbus module. You're listening to Aero News.
Do you think the only time your certified airplane can be equipped with a full emergency airframe parachute recovery system is when it rolls off the production line? Well, think again. BRS is the aftermarket leader in providing full airframe recovery parachutes for certified airplanes like yours. We manufacture the reliable parachute systems you need for a full range of aircraft, including Cessna. for your own safety and for that of your family members and loved ones, get the extra life assurance of a BRS airframe recovery parachute. In the event of an emergency, you'll never question the security of having one final option. Call BRS at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for February 12, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. It looks as if Avedyne might have one of the must-see displays at this season's upcoming aviation shows. The company is rumored to be on the verge of unveiling a WAAS-enabled GPS NavCom-capable flight management system for single-pilot jet operations, just in time for the expected boom in the light jet market. Limited info received so far by ANN suggests the system builds on the ease of use pioneered by Avedyne in its Integra line. The system is expected to include the industry's first all-digital, multi-channel VHF NEXCOM communication and navigation radio. We'll keep you posted as we receive more details. And you can sign up for product announcements at Avedyne's website using a link you'll find in the print version of this story at aero-news.net. If you took a 27-year-old car to your dealer and demanded compensation for defective workmanship, you wouldn't expect to get too far. For that matter, U.S. law protects manufacturers of civilian aircraft over 18 years old from liability claims. But the U.S. Air Force is reportedly going back to original contracts for the F-15 to see if Boeing bears any responsibility to answer for longerons which have been found to have been manufactured from metal thinner than specified in the design, or which have surface imperfections serious enough to serve as focal points for stress. Nearly all the F-15s in service with the U.S. Air Force were built by McDonnell Douglas Corporation, which was absorbed into Boeing in 1997. Air Force Lieutenant General Donald Hoffman, the service's top uniformed acquisition officer, told the Seattle Post-Intelligencer the investigation continues, but so far it's unclear whether Boeing will be held culpable. The average age of the F-15 fleet is over 25 years. The aircraft involved in the November 2nd mid-air breakup, which launched the investigation, was 27 years old and had logged 5,600 hours. That plane was rated for an 8,000-hour life expectancy. In developments above the atmosphere, the STS-122 and Expedition 16 crews will open the newest component of the International Space Station for business today. Supplies and equipment will be transferred into the European Space Agency's Columbus Laboratory. Expedition 16 crew members Leopold Aerts and Peggy Whitson will be the first to enter Columbus. Later in the day, STS-122 mission specialists Rex Walheim and Hans Schlegel will camp out in the station's Quest airlock to acclimate themselves in preparation for a Wednesday morning spacewalk, during which they'll begin installation of the Columbus module. Philip Ray Edgington was ferrying a 60-year-old Cessna from Wisconsin back home to Texas on Friday. Sadly, it turned out to be his last flight. According to the Houston Chronicle, the 54-year-old had just purchased the 1948 Cessna 140 from an individual in New Richmond, Wisconsin, and was headed to Sanger, Texas, with a planned fuel stop in Oskaloosa, Iowa. The Civil Air Patrol mounted a search Friday night after Edgington failed to report in to family members. Larry Churchill was taking care of horses on his parents' farm near Grand Meadow, Minnesota, when he and his son Brian noticed what looked like a large pile of brush through the fog. They went to check it out and found the plane's cockpit partially covering the pilot's body. Churchill noted that parts of the plane were scattered at the site along with maps and suitcases, and that the aircraft appeared to have slid 150 feet. Green Meadow is about 25 miles south of Rochester, Minnesota. The official cause of the crash is still under investigation. Still ahead, stranded Alpha Aviation customers get a hand from Liberty. Another flight school is accused of failing to deliver on training promises. And a border watcher gets buzzed by F-16s. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, February 12, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. New Zealand plane maker Alpha Aviation fell into receivership last month. But there's no reason to have a long face if you're a depositor. U.S.-based Liberty Aerospace tells ANN it has decided to offer Alpha Aviation customers credits equal to their Alpha deposits toward the purchase of a new Liberty XL2. Liberty CEO Keith Markley commented, quote, "As an industry, we are dedicated to working together, and our offer is intended to keep the aviation community flying by delivering modern aircraft to those buyers who still wish to own a new aircraft," unquote. Liberty will honor unfulfilled customer deposits on new undelivered Alpha 120T, 160A, and 160AI aircraft as a deposit on a new Liberty XL2, subject to program requirements, including a $10,000 maximum limit. Customers should be willing to provide proof of their previous deposits and enter into binding purchase agreements. This offer is for a limited time. As ANN reported, Alpha entered liquidation proceedings on January 22nd. The well-regarded Robin, which was renamed the Alpha 200 series, earned its FAA type certification last year. Liberty Aerospace has survived its own occasional predictions of demise, but announced in December a deal with China's Anyang Angel Aeroscience and Technology Development Company Limited to produce at least 600 Liberty XL2 trainers in China for use in that market. That deal was valued at $150 million. Just as the flight training industry was assessing the damage to its reputation from the collapse of Silver State Helicopters, Tucson, Arizona's International Airline Training Academy, or IATA, may face lawsuits from 10 Indian students who claim they're owed refunds of a total of $130,000 after the school could not provide enough planes and instructors to meet its obligations. The students tell the Arizona Daily Star they signed on to train for up to 10 months and leave IATA with ATP ratings, everything from ground lessons, mechanics, and pre-flight preparation to the required hours in single-engine, multi-engine, and jet aircraft was supposed to have been covered. The group claims that IATA cut their airtime from the promised 6 days per week to just 2 days for lack of qualified instructors and adequately maintained aircraft. The students approached the school on January 25th for refunds. The paper says IATA called the police, complaining the students were irate. IATA's attorney, Mark L. Collins, told the paper the school plans to refund less than $110,000 of the students' money. Those students have since relocated to a Phoenix area school to finish their training and are contemplating a lawsuit. According to Pima County, Arizona Superior Court records, the school has been sued twice in the last 2 years. Bank of America reportedly sued last year to recover $101,000 on a promissory note and $910,000 in loans taken out by owners Jean-Marc and Teresa Eloy in July and September of 2005. Indian students make up about 10% of the IATA roster, with Chinese students comprising another 88%. Glenn Spencer flies a Cessna 206 along Arizona's border with Mexico, conducting surveillance for the privately operated American Border Group. His group flies with high-definition cameras to keep track of U.S. government progress on border fence construction, using the photos to create reports available to both Congress and the general public. It's not clear how well the fence is coming along, but Spencer can now attest to the effectiveness of security alarms for detecting aircraft crossing the border. He admits that while descending from one surveillance flight on January 15th, he may have strayed briefly over the border into Mexico and then back, about 8 miles east of Douglas, Arizona. But Spencer was alarmed when he was intercepted by two F-16s from Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. Spencer claims one of the fighters, quote, "made two passes within 100 feet of me," unquote. He maintains he was squawking the right transponder code and was in radio contact with regional flight authorities. Spencer's story has become a rallying point for his own group and fodder for conspiracy theorists. Or, in other words, go ahead and put the federal government under surveillance. Let us know how that works out. And finally, Sir Richard Branson plans to fly a Boeing 747 from London to Amsterdam on a biofuel mixture derived from soybeans or algae sometime later this month. But a U.S. pilot and entrepreneur has set his sights on a much bigger accomplishment. Douglas Rodante and his team from the Green Flight Project plan to fly a Bombardier business jet around the world on used cooking oil as soon as the end of this year. Rodante and his chief pilot, Carol Sugars, with consulting help from Bill Lear Jr. himself, want to fly with used canola oil like you'd use to cook French fries. They've already made it work in a Czech Aero L-29 jet trainer over the Nevada desert, but using the fuel for round-the-world flight poses additional challenges. For one thing, the Lear cruises at 45,000 feet, where temperatures can be expected to drop to minus 50 degrees Fahrenheit or colder. Fuel made from animal fats turns to a thick jelly which won't burn at those temperatures. The city of Portland, Oregon found that out the hard way when its biodiesel-fueled snowplows stalled and blocked intersections the first time they were brought out on a cold day this winter. Also, biofuel is still a fairly new concept, so it's difficult to find in many places, and it costs as much as three times as much as petroleum-based Jet A fuel. Finally, the FAA and other regulators have yet to satisfy their safety concerns. But Rodante and Greenflight are attacking the problems methodically. Satisfying the FAA will just take time and some more flights with that L-29. Keeping the fuel in a combustible form will be solved with either heated tanks or a biofuel kerosene mix. To meet the multi-million dollar cost of the trip, sponsors will be enlisted. Rodante, who is a television producer who started flying in the 1990s, says it's important to advance biofuel technology. He says it could reduce greenhouse gas emissions 50 to 80% compared to petroleum-based jet fuel. He promises he'll return with footage documenting the flight and create a movie for the rest of us. And that's all very admirable, but we still have three questions. First of all, will the entire Earth smell like the lobby of a fast food restaurant after the flight is completed? Will test pilot Carol Sugars change her name to Carol Lipids? And finally, if the biodiesel is made from used French fry oil, wouldn't it be cheaper in France? That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today my guest is Earl Lawrence, VP of Industry and Regulatory Affairs for the Experimental Aircraft Association. We'll talk about what options remain for fat ultralight owners who missed the deadline to register their aircraft as experimental light sport aircraft. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCast. You can find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.